All right, we'll say a word of prayer and then we'll jump right into this. Father, Yahweh, we just bless your name. We thank you for just the opportunity to get into your presence. We seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we just bless you in advance for giving it to us. And we just thank you for all the things that you do in our lives on a daily basis. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All righty. There are some things that I wanna address just to encourage us on today, and you know, all the things that that's going on. Things are going to get, they're going to get better, as I said, but then they're going to get much worse. This is just a tune up for some things to come. And, you know, a lot of people are not prepared for what we're about to face. And so I just want to share some things with you so that you will, again, be encouraged, and then at the same time know that Yah is, he's not going to leave us alone in going through this. These things that we're going through. I think that's been one of the things that that people have forgotten, and then you have people who have begun to, you know, to seek Yah, but it's still from a religious perspective. But you know, at the same time, you know, he's just working some things out. We all, you know, growing stages and things like that. So. You know, that's encouraging also. So, but what I want to share with you is the scriptures reveal, you know, these things that we're going through. You know, we've discussed Revelations, you know, the book of Revelations. We looked at Revelations 13. We looked at Revelations 17. There, Revelations 12. It's just a lot of books that reveal the times that we are living in. Matthew 24, I mean, it's just so many scriptures. Book of Daniel, chapter 9, you know, Daniel 7 through 9. It's just a lot of books, man. And the more I call this boy, you know, this Rolodex start turning in my head. Daniel 11 tells the whole story from beginning to end, per se. And it's just so much information that's out there. And people have been taught these things from traditional points of view, even to the point to where even members of our nation who have come into understanding concerning who we are, there are things that they still teach from traditions of men. You know, somebody had what they thought was a revelation, and they start teaching on that revelation, and there's no scripture basis for it. And so what they do is this, you know, the term we use, cherry pick, pull out different scriptures and then twist it and make it seems, you know, make it seem or to appear to be what, you know, the subject matter that they're teaching on. And it's far from the truth. And what I love about what Yah has done with me and how he's doing with the, you know, what our ministry is, that we've learned the foundation by which we study in order to come into an understanding of something. And and when you look at it, it's very simple, man. How many go to a movie, or how many like going to the movie and just answer, well, how many like going to a movie and just, you know, getting there in the middle of the movie, and you watch, you know, the middle of the movie to the end, and then walk out of there, and it's like there are some things that, you know, that you understand as far as the movie is concerned, but because you miss the beginning stages of it, it's just a lot of, you know, information that's just not there. Well, you see the same thing as far as the scriptures are concerned. People just pick it up, start anywhere, start in their favorite places, you know, and they don't start from the beginning. And so because of that, it's just things that they're not able to see and understand. And I'll give you an example of this here. Just kind of bear with me a minute. You know, and you see this, you just see this all the time. And so what Yah is doing, you know, with us, then, you know, it's exciting. And it's just wonderful to see how he deals with us as far as that is concerned. Okay, now, when we look at, just trying to see where I want to start, just to show you this example here of what I'm talking about. And y'all just kind of bear with me. Y'all know how we do it. I don't come out a lot of times and be prepared to do certain things. It's just that y'all just kind of give me what he give me, and I just kind of go with it. Let me see here. A good example. Yeah, I use this one here. This is a good one to use. Okay. I'll go to Psalms 105 just to show you here. Psalms 105, verse... I start at verse 14. So when you look at Psalm 105 and verse 14, it says, he suffered no man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And when you see this here, you know, you look at it in the book of Psalms, And you'll get people that will take these two verses here, or specifically verse 15, and they will pull that out and teach it. And they'll teach it without understanding the reason why it was written in the first place. And so it's like what I had mentioned, starting in Psalms 105, you know, just... You know, I think I'm going to just read the Bible and then just open up the Bible. You know, some people say, I just open up the Bible and wherever it starts, wherever it opens to, that's where I start. Well, open up the Bible, it starts at Psalms 105. You know, they get down to verse 14 or their eyes catch, you know, verse 14, so to speak, 15. And then they read that, and from that point on, a doctrine is made up based upon that particular passage. And so you have people walking around thinking that there's something on them that makes them invincible, and no one is supposed to, you know, say anything about them. I mean, you know, don't say nothing about the man and woman of God and all this kind of stuff. You hear these doctrines that come from them. Well, you have to understand these things within the contextual meaning of things. And so a lot of times we'll read scriptures like this and we just won't put it together. We won't know that there was a reason why this was written there, you know. And so a person will just conclude because they just started right in the middle of the book, right in the middle of the Bible, so to speak. And they just start to read these things and then come with their own doctrine. Well, that's what you see people all over the world doing. And they come up with these different things and these different teachings and things like that. Well, again, what I had said earlier is that the reason why I love what Yah is doing with us is because he taught us the fundamental principles of studying the Bible. And the only way the Bible can properly be studied is we have to start at the beginning of the book. Genesis 1, verse 1, and we have to study it, you know, precept upon precept, line upon line. And a lot of times you will get, you will get people for whatever reason or another, they will be studying a specific passage in a way over in other books because they are, they're running scripture references and different things like that. Don't do that, man. You're going to get there. You're going to get over in Isaiah. So you don't have to be in Genesis and then know something that's said in Isaiah and you go over there and look at it. Now, when you get to the point to where you've studied it enough, there are times when there are times I'll be in Genesis and because, you know, I've studied the scripture enough, when I read a certain verse, say, for instance, Psalms 105, verse 15, then I may put the scripture beside it because I know where it's found somewhere else. And so, and then you kind of check from that point of view and stay within the text. Don't start running all in them other passages trying to find out about the anointed now. That's not the subject matter. Stay within that set of scriptures, and if it's a verse that stick out to you and you have to run a reference, to understand it better, then put all that with what, you know, I would put all that around verse 15 to know that, okay, this is what this is referring to. Now, because I got a good Bible here on the computer, it'll show you what I'm talking about, and this is exactly how I do it. And I've learned how to do this over the years. And then, you know, technology now just makes it even easier for me. But this is why it took me 12 years to study from Genesis 12 to Revelation, because what you're seeing with this technology is what I did those 12 years. I looked at the scripture and started making references and writing all in my Bible and stuff like that in order to put this stuff together. But now, since the technology is there, I'll just show you from the technology that's there that can help you do this. Cross-reference here. And so when you look at verse 15 here, I'm going to say, it may not give it here, but it's just because I'm looking at some stuff and it just really, it may do it. So verse 15, it says, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophet no harm. Moreover, he called, I'll go up to verse 14. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Genesis 12, yeah, it's referring to it. Genesis 20, yep. Yeah, it's doing it. Some of mine are different, but yet it's doing it. Okay, so when you look at it here, and it's in verse 14, it says he suffered no man to do them wrong, yet he reproved kings for their sake. And I just pull up another Bible here just to show you Genesis 12, as you see it to the right here, and this is just Bibles. And by the way, if anybody need this, I finally found a way that I can download it to your computer and stuff like that. If anybody need this, I can sit yours up where it's like this and you can have this information. Okay. or this particular Bible here. Here, I finally figured out how to do it. I just copied it from my, I don't have the original CD, but I copied it from one computer to another, and that's how I started doing it. So I can do it for anybody now. But as you see it here, I'll just put in Genesis 12 just to show you. Genesis 12, verse 17, because as you see it here, so Genesis 12, verse 17, it says, I'm going to go back up to verse 14 because verse 14. Genesis 12, verse 14 said, and it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair. Some mother, Sarah. She was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord and Yah plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why did I not tell me that she was thy wife? Why said thou she is my sister? Because that's what he said. Actually, she was his sister, though. But he didn't tell him that was his wife. So I might have taken her to me the wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. So, you know, he gave Abram these things for, and he just let him keep them. Okay. Now, when you look at Psalms 105, you get over here to Psalm 105, you'll see these stories here. I'm going to go to 23 and then also 7. 20 verse 3, but I'm going to start at verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said unto Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sinned and took Sarah. But Yah came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, but thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will thou slay also a righteous man, a righteous nation? Said he not again unto me, she is my sister. And she even said herself, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And Yah said unto him in a dream, yeah, I know that thou did this in integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. There you go. For he is a prophet. Abraham was a prophet. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Well, the story goes, he gets up in the morning, give him his wife, but he says in verse 12, when he tells Abram, and yet indeed she is my sister, so she is his sister. She is the daughter of my father. He married his sister. They had the same father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. So Sarah actually was his sister. But then later on, there were laws put in place that this couldn't take place anymore. Okay. Immediate kin and things like that. Okay, so when you look at now Psalms 105, verse 7 again, restore the wife, okay, Another one, I'm just going to look at the other example since it's there. 35 and 5. Saying they journeyed, and the terror of Yah was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Okay? Now, the reason why I wanted you to see this, and then I'll give another scripture just to finalize it. 1 Chronicles 16. Just to show you how many times this example is given. 1 Chronicles 16. And then when you look at verse 21. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 21. Let's just go to verse... Thirteen, because Yah's laying a foundation for what I'm getting ready to say. Okay, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 13 said, O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen one. Okay, Israel, we're the seed of Israel, we're the children of Jacob, Israel, one and the same. We're Yah's chosen one. Keep that in mind. Where we're headed, keep that in mind. Verse 14 said, He is Yah God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant. Remember the covenant. Who are we? We're the seed of Israel. We're the children of Jacob. We're the chosen one. Keep in mind that covenant in the days that we're living in. Keep in mind the covenant. Okay, now, be mindful always of his covenant. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. So what he said to our fathers, he mean it to us. Now, what caused our fathers to not benefit from that covenant? Disobedience. So if we as the seed of Israel, the children of Jacob, the chosen one for 1,000 generations, so that includes us, then we can be mindful always of the covenant. And when we're mindful of the covenant, then the covenant applies to those who are mindful. Okay? It's very important for us to understand this, because of the things that we're facing as far as this future is concerned is looking dim. There's some things coming down the pipe. I don't know if you understand, you know, if you've been paying attention, they're talking about doing away with they're talking about the digital dollar, which makes it even easier for Revelation 13 no one to be able to buy or sell except the mark of the beast, because now when everything is digital, you're not able to, you know, have a couple of $100 in your mattress, you know, like the old folks used to do, or keep some cash on you in case some things going on, because that's not going to matter here in the near future. Because that is one of the signs of the mark of the beast. I keep telling people, they're so concerned about a chip. No, the chip is not the issue. It's the mind control. That's the control of the beast. I mean, it's the mind control that is the mark of the beast. That is what it is. Yah controls our mind, and the enemy always want to do things parallel to the kingdom of Yah. When we get in the scriptures and study precept upon precept, line upon line, you can see Yah always dealt with us concerning our mind. If you have a pure heart, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mind, heart, one and the same. You know, create in me a clean heart, O Yah. Mind. He constantly deal with us about a pure mind. Well, if Yah is always dealing with us about a mind, because it takes a mind that stayed on him to keep his covenant, then what you think the system is doing? The system is creating methods by which they can have mind control so that people do everything exactly the way that they want them to do. That is the mark. And it's not, nobody's going to be fooled. Nobody's going to be tricked. Nobody's going to, Everybody who decide to accept this here, this mark, is going to do so willingly. They're going to make a choice to do it, and it's not going to sneak up on nobody. They're not going to put something in you and turn it on, and then your mind gone, and they controlling you. No, All you got to do is pay attention to what's going on every day now. People are already primed, pumped, and ready to carry out anything they need to carry out just to get them some groceries. Now think about it. If it's this extreme as far as food and water is concerned, what you think about when you have no control over anything now? Thousands up on top of thousands of people are going to submit to this willingly because you can see it start to happen out there on the street. The love of many have waxed cold. We talked about it. The love of money is the root of all evil. So when you got this love for things and selfishness, the love of themselves and all that, that is the mindset that the enemy wants in order to control people. And that's exactly where we are right now. But what I'm saying to you as the followers of Christ, also the seed, most importantly, because that's who I'm sent to, the seed of Jacob, the seed of Israel, the children of Jacob, the chosen one, we gotta understand something as we enter into these days. Be mindful of your covenant. Know who you are. You are not these everyday people, even though you're looking at some that are Israelites. You're not those people. Remember, the scripture says, even when our whole nation came out of Egypt, the scripture said not all of Israel came out of Egypt. Wait a minute. They physically came out, but yet their mental state was still there. They were still in bondage to the one world order at that time. Egypt was the one world order at that time. Egypt was the first beast in the scriptures. There's seven of them, or eight, according to Revelations 17, I believe. There are eight beasts. There's two more coming. Egypt is the first one listed. You had members of our nation. Here it is now. You had members of our nation that were so bound to the beast that Yah delivered them out of the hand of the beast. And what did they do as soon as they got out in the wilderness? Moses goes up in the mountain. What they do, make him a golden calf and say, these be our gods that brought us out. That's the mark of the beast. Mind control. So caught up into a systematic bondage to the point to where Yah showing up and they still couldn't accept it, to the point to where Yah killed all those disobedient members of our nation off before they can cross over into the promised land. You can look in the scriptures and see the signs of the mark of the beast. All you have to do is just follow it precept upon precept, line upon line, and just continue to study the scriptures and allow Yah to unseal these things as we continue to learn and grow in the things of Yah. So I can see it clearly. You can see the mark of the beast, even back in Egypt. They came out, everybody came out, but yet you still had people in bondage to it. Y'all only allowed those, I believe, 20 years and under to cross over in the promised land. Because the rest of the old folk were just too caught up into their set minds, and they just would not change. Y'all was like, I can't take them over. The mark of the beast is a mind control. You see it throughout history happening to our nation. But those of us who are mindful of our covenant, we always talk about we have to be wise, but at the same time, be mindful of your covenant. Being mindful of your covenant and knowing who you are as the chosen one of Yah is what's going to help us get through this. Verse 15, be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. I am mindful. I don't care what's going on out there. I'm mindful of who I am. I'm mindful of what I was born to do. I don't care how crazy it get. I don't care how things, how things get as we, you know, each day approaches per se. But I know for sure I am mindful of my covenant. I am very confident in who I am. I am a chosen one of Israel, a seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I know that I have a covenant where my Yah has made some declaration concerning me. What is that declaration he's made concerning? Let's look at it. verse 16, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and has confirmed the same to Jacob for a law. This is a law. This is everlasting. I don't care how crazy it gets. I got a law that I'm bound to. You have a law that you're bound to. Even, verse 16, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of the oath unto Isaac. It was passed from Abraham to Isaac. It was passed to Isaac to Jacob. Verse 17. Jacob has sons. Verse 13. The seed of Israel. So it's passed to us. To a thousand generations. That's just a metaphoric term. That lets us know it's everlasting. Just like the verse says in 17. Verse 17. And hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law. And to Israel for an everlasting covenant. How long? Everlasting. How long is everlasting? Ever, 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 ever. Ever, ever, ever. Infinity ever. On the other side of infinity ever, it's still there. Saying, what did he say? Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Who? No man. Where are we now? Among men. Y'all said those who walk in that covenant and understand their covenant concerning who we are as the children of Israel, y'all said, I will suffer no man the same way I suffered no man to your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yeah, he reproved kings for their sake. There are some kings according to the scripture. When you look at these beasts, all these beasts have kings. Scripture talking about seven heads and ten horns. And there are ten kings. And all these different kings, which are leaders of nations. Yah says in his word, I suffered no man to harm them. I rebuke kings for their sake. So I don't care what kind of system it is. That's why I always say I'm not afraid of any type of sister, because I know I have a God who I have a covenant with that was passed down to me for a thousand generations, thousands of generations. That's why I say the stuff that I do. I'm not afraid. I'm ready. I'm just waiting on y'all to tell me what to do. No fear whatsoever. Verse 21, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yeah, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed. Now, you just can't grab a hold to that if you're not walking in the commandments and obeying his law. If we're obeying Yah's word, if we're lining up with the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, Yah said, do not be concerned. There's something on you because you are the seed. You're walking in a covenant that's everlasting. And when you walk in that covenant and you obey my word and do what I tell you to do, there is no king. There is no government. There is no nation. There is no man that can harm you. I will rebuke them for your sake, because I'm standing up for what I said to your father. You got to have confidence in that in these days. You are that anointed. So when you get over in the Psalms 105, verse 15, saying, touch not my anointing, or do my prophets no harm, you have to realize that you benefit from that because of the covenant that he made to your fathers. Honestly speaking, that put us in an invincible position. Verse 21 says, he suffered no man to do them wrong. When you look at the word wrong, it means defraud, violate, overflow, deceitfully, deceive, do violent, to press upon. It don't say it's not going to come. It's just not going to pull it off. Y'all, look at our track record, even when it comes to the things that we've dealt with. We've been attacked in so many ways when it comes down to our properties and different things like that. They come, but they can never pull it off. Why? Because we stand in the covenant by which Yah has deemed up on us as the seed of Abraham. So they don't realize these systems and things like that, they know who we are, but they know we don't know whose we are. And when we start to know who we are, then there are some things that's going to take place that's going to let them know that. Now, verse 22 again, Chronicles says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets plural. They couldn't touch our fathers. They couldn't touch Abraham. They couldn't touch Isaac. They couldn't touch Jacob, Israel. They couldn't touch the sons. As long as they operated within that covenant. But every time we got outside of it, we got touched. That's why you're seeing the things happen to us on the streets now. Because you got the majority of us that's outside of that covenant. And just as many don't have knowledge of it. Okay? So when we look at now Psalm 105, we're able to put that together and know that when we get to Psalm 105, we're able to say, man, that is something that is speaking to us as those who walk in the covenant. You just can't be walking around and thinking you bad because you're a preacher. And because you're anointed and you pick up your Bible a couple of times a week in order to study to get your lesson, you come in there prophesying or prophesying or whatever you want to call it, then you want to say you're anointed. Nobody's supposed to touch you. Do you have knowledge of the covenant or obeying the laws of Yah? If you're not, that ain't talking to you. I don't care if you're Israelite or not. Now, since we understand that, I'm just going to show you this as I close. I'm just about finished now. Y'all, don't think that the enemy going to be working and y'all ain't going to be working. Don't think that he don't have sons ready to stand up against this system to give people strength. Y'all going to be moving in this time frame. And people are going to be seeing the move of y'all, and it's going to give them the faith and the courage to stand. And whatever is presented that's ungodly, then we'll stand because we know that y'all is with us. That we're walking in the covenant. Okay? And just to show you these things, I'm just going to read verse 3, and I'm not going to go in a whole lot of detail about verse 3. I'm just saying it so you'll know that y'all going to have his vessels out working during this time frame. Okay, and the crazier things get, y'all gonna have some stuff in place. Okay, now, as you see, verse three says, I'll start at verse one. Verse one says, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood. saying, rise and measure the temple of Yah and the altar, and then that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. Okay. I mean, it's 12 months. 12 months is a year. 36 months, 3 years. 42, which is extra 6 months, that's 3.5 years. Okay. The Gentiles are going to be given the place that's not measured out as far as the holy city is concerned. Okay. When you look at it, it says, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall tread underfoot 42 days, 3.5 years. What you see, you know, we discussed this before, the Jerusalem that you see today is not the Jerusalem where the scriptures talk about as far as the city of David is concerned. But as you can see, according to Revelation chapter 11, they are going to get in that area. But they're still not going to be exactly where the temple area is. It's just that it's an area in Jerusalem that they're going to be given. It's given to the Gentile to trot down. Okay. So the best way to explain it, Jerusalem is like, so for instance, we have the Dallas Metroplex, and your two major cities in the Dallas Metroplex at this point is like Dallas and Fort Worth. That's why they call it Dallas-Fort Worth Airport and stuff like that. You know, Metroplex. Well, you have Jerusalem that's similar to that perspective, where you have Jerusalem kind of like the Metroplex of other places, okay, or places that's around it. Well, the Gentiles are given Jerusalem, but outside the area that Yah is keeping most sacred in verse 1 and 2. Okay. Well, when you look at it in verse 3, he said, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Yah of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, touch not mine anointed. If any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of the mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Now, these witnesses exist. They exist. And they will... I'm going to say this for lack of a better way to put it. They will be unleashed to do what Yah is calling them to do in the last days. So it's not like the system is just going to be doing stuff at his will without no issues. Yah going to be standing up. He going to have his prophets standing up. All these church go preachers going to get over in the corner and they're going to cooperate. But when Yah speak to his prophets, we're going to stand. And we're not afraid, because we know our covenant, and we know we're the seed of Abraham, and we know that we're sealed, and we're able to go forth to carry out the mission of Yah. So even if the system hear what I'm saying, there ain't nothing they can do about it. Why? Because you touch not the anointed. Yah rebuke kings for their sake. Thus, Yah rebuke kings for our sake. Okay, now, verse 5, and if any will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemy. Now, it's that's more kind of like a metaphoric term. It's not like we it's going to be fire, you know, spewing out of the mouth. There's something that's going to take place. You know, the scripture called, I believe it was I think it was James and John, the sons of thunder. James and John was apostles. They're called fire now. Let me make sure. I'm going to pull it up. This stuff is in the scripture. So when people see this, okay, let me see. Sons, if it'll say it. Yeah, it was James and John. So I'm gonna just start right here. And he ordained 12. This is Mark 3, verse 14. And he ordained 12. That they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And Simon, his surname Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them, Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. Why do you name them that? One time they would say, you want to call fire down? Okay. And I'm going to see if I can find it here. The sons of thunder. And then you see the rest of them named. So let me see. It may not say it. Luke 9. Let me show you. It's real stuff. Now, verse 53 says, and they did not. I'm trying to see a place. I saw it, verse 50. And Yehoshua said unto them, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Because you had. I have to go up. Y'all just bear with me. Verse 49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with us. And Yehoshua said unto him, forbid him not. Leave him alone. For he that is not against us is for us. Okay? And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? This is going to be happening in the last days. That's what the witnesses are going to do. This kind of stuff was common among our nation. We did supernatural things. And the system haven't seen men like this, but they're getting ready to see them. And so that's the reason why they were called the sons of thunder. And so when you see Revelations 11, verse 5, when it said fire proceeded out of their mouth, why? Because they called it down, like John and James. That's what I'm saying. The one day it was coming out of their mouth, they could call fire down. You had disciples now who were chosen by our Savior Christ, operating within his power, as you see, in the scriptures. I don't know if it's in this. I think it was in the other one that we use in Matthew, I believe. You see them operating in the power of Yah. And because they're operating in the power of Yah, James and John say, you want to call fire down from heaven? Elijah did it. Well, guess what? I walk in the covenant of my father. My father Elijah did it. I call them all my father. My father's Elijah did it. My father's James and John would do it. We got to now start adjusting our mind and get ready for what Yah has called us to be as a nation of people. And we got to have the confidence to know that it don't matter what we face, we are Yah's anointed. And Yah is not going to let anything touch his anointed. But my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There are Israelites who are going to be destroyed because they don't know who they are. Now that you see that it's there, verse 5 now, Revelation 11, verse 5, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them into blood, and to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. Oh, you think they throwing out these viruses out? Wait till Yah releases sons. Corona, piece of cake. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottom of this pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lay in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. Jerusalem is called Sodom and Egypt, according to the scripture now. Jerusalem is Mystery Babylon. Which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then you know that is the place. Y'all gonna destroy it. It is Mystery Babylon that Yah is going to destroy in the future. That's why he tells him, he said, leave it without. Don't measure the outside. The outside has been given to the Gentiles. I'm going to destroy it. That's Sodom and Egypt. Okay. These folks going to be so happy because they couldn't deal with them. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half. They're going to be laying there 3.5 days. And shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. And shall send gift one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Y'all raising up some sons that's going to deal with the system at the same time the system is dealing with mankind. After 3.5 days, the spirit of life from Yah entered into them, and they stood up on their feet, and a great fear fell upon all which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, an earthquake coming to Jerusalem. And an earthquake was slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory unto Yah of heaven. Second woe. Yah ain't playing. Yah finna. Remember what I gave in the prophecy. I said people are going to have a front row seat to the manifestation of Yah. The same way this system is going to be showing out, Yah going to be showing out greater. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. The system is going to be doing their agenda, and y'all going to be saving folks and delivering folks and bringing folks into the kingdom in more numbers than you can imagine. He's not going to let the system outdo what he's doing. It's going to be a glorious time to be living in. Those who understand the covenant. Last little thing here. Then I'm finished. I'm just using my technology. Revelation 7. Show you y'all ain't gonna be playing. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. The earth does have four corners. Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Yah. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom he was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Angels gonna be showing up during this time frame. Enemy is not going to have a piece of cake with this. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Yah in their foreheads. In their foreheads. The beast, the same thing, in their hand and in their foreheads. It's a mindset. And I heard the number of them that were sealed. And there was sealed 144,000, all of the tribes of the children of Israel. Israel is finna be shown out in these last days. Y'all gonna release 144,000 prophets plus the two witnesses. And I heard the number of them that were sealed was 144,000. Of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah was sealed 12,000. The tribe of Reuben, 12,000. The tribe of Gad, 12,000. The tribe of Asher, 12,000. Tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. Manasseh, 12,000. Simeon, 12,000. Levi, 12,000. Issachar, 12,000. Zebulun, 12,000. Joseph, 12,000, and Benjamin, 12,000. We gonna be ready. And the system ain't seen nothing like us. So I said that to say this, as I close, be encouraged with what we're dealing with. Know that you are in a covenant with Yah, and Yah has not left us here to deal with this by ourselves. We have a Most High Yah who sits on his throne that has everything in control and is going to release release things to make sure that he keep us encouraged and our eyes focused on him. This system finna learn. And so, you know, I just wanted to share that with you. Be mindful of your covenant. I don't care how crazy it get. I don't care how much it appears that lives may be on the line. It doesn't matter. It don't matter. Stand for Yah. Remember your covenant. Walk in that covenant. Know that wherever you are, because you walk in that covenant, that Yah will rebuke kings for your sake. No man can hurt you. You got to have confidence in that. All right, that's all I got. I'll go ahead and close right here. Any questions, comments? We good? Okay. Father, I just bless you for just giving us the wisdom to see that you indeed are with us. You've established this covenant with us as the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the chosen ones. And we walk in our covenant for thousands of generations, an everlasting covenant. We're mindful of it. And right now, our security is in you and in the covenant by which you gave us. And we decree that no one can touch your anointed nor do your prophets any harm. And we thank you for just giving us that covenant and that blessing that you placed upon us. We greatly appreciate it, and we just love you for leaving the scriptures for our learning. And we just bless you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.